Before social media, influencers, and selfies, there was Peter Berlin, whose blonde hair, fair skin, and slim physique made him an international icon. He was the original influencer. The gay erotic film Knights in Black Leather was a significant release during the 1970s golden era of gay porn. It was embraced and celebrated internationally due to its sexual representation, but primarily because of its star and creative mind behind the film, Peter Berlin. In this episode, we're going to take a look at Knights in Black Leather, a fluke film with a loose narrative made on the fly that would cement its place in the annals of gay porn history to this day. And we will also explore the life and work of Peter Berlin, a talented artist, photographer, filmmaker, and human being who would become a defining gay sex symbol and reluctant porn star through his photography and porn films that only had one main subject, himself. This is Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you get off. Before we continue, please don't forget to help my channel and this audiovisual podcast by subscribing, clicking the like button, and selecting the bell icon so you can be notified every time I publish a new video. Also, leave a comment and let me know what you think. Peter Berlin was born Armand Hagen Freier von Heunigen-Hunen in Poland in 1942 during World War II to a family of diplomats and artists.
Being born into a blue blood family with my grandmother's side of philosophers and attachés, and then my other side of artists and photographers, you know, there's one very famous George von Heunigen-Hunen, who was a photographer of Hollywood. And so there's where my roots are coming from.
His father, a farmer, met his mother in Berlin and the two married. When Berlin was two, his father died as a soldier during the war, at a time when the German government was rationing weapons and firepower and sending unarmed soldiers to protect the Eastern Front. After this, Berlin's mother took her three children to live in the capital while the East Germans were building the wall. As a teenager and after his sexual awakening, Berlin remembers borrowing his grandmother's sewing machine and making his own clothes, not believing that clothes and fashion at the time showed off the body as they should. Berlin would spend his youth on the streets, parks, train stations of Berlin showing off and wearing leather, not for the kink of it, but rather how leather made his body look. It was around this time that Berlin would study photography, leading to a job as an in-house lensman for a German chat show. However, post-war Berlin was not exactly a thriving location for an artist of his caliber, and Berlin, with the help of a friend, made his way to Paris, Rome, New York, and finally San Francisco in the early 1970s. It was in his early 20s that Berlin one day looked in the mirror and was excited by himself. It was a new sensation, and from then on, Berlin learned how to please himself to himself. Once Berlin found himself in San Francisco, he began to shape and redefine his image while cruising bathhouses and parks. As Berlin would recount, his main thrill while cruising was in the ritualistic manner, the hunt for sex. Once someone cruising him was intrigued and enticed, Berlin was satiated and gone, leaving the cruiser wanting more.
Hey man, can't you do anything else with your cock and show it off?
Oh, I can.
So let's go fuck.
I don't want to.
What do you want?
If you don't mind, man, I like being by myself.
Oh, I'm not good enough for you, eh?
That's what you said.
You're a fucking jack-off. You'll be sorry, you bitch.
Berlin would earn his place, garnering local fame among Polk Street's most eccentric people. With the skill he picked up when he was younger, whenever Berlin couldn't find what he was looking for in the store, he turned to making his own clothes that were meant to expose as much of his body as possible, and pants that would complement and hug his trademark bulge. Berlin's photography mainly consisted of self-portraits that would appear on gay magazine covers and make him an international cult icon, Berlin was a self-loving exhibitionist who embraced his look and never shied away from anything too provocative. He would dress up for himself, and if you happened to like it as well, then great. During this time, erotic films like Boys in the Sand and Deep Throat were having lucrative theater runs. It was only a matter of time before Berlin, along with his friend director Richard Abel, got the idea of shooting footage that would become the 1972 film Knights in Black Leather. The film would feature Berlin, along with solos, oral scenes, and simulated sex. Knights in Black Leather was successful, and Berlin would then write, produce, and direct his next film, That Boy. After Knights in Black Leather and That Boy, Berlin solidified his place as a sex symbol and bona fide celebrity among the art world, rubbing shoulders with Salvatore Dali, Andy Warhol, and Robert Mapplethorpe. Warhol, along with Mapplethorpe, were the only two other photographers Berlin allowed to photograph him. Tom of Finland also immortalized him in drawings. Berlin's drive for the business end of photography and filmmaking was never stronger than his own simple want of living life and taking some pictures. He ran a mail order business selling picture sets and videos to fans, which combined with an inheritance from a close friend was enough to let Berlin live the lifestyle he enjoyed. Berlin's fan base was large enough to make him an international icon. Of his fame, Berlin would go on to say, "It was fun in the beginning, however, once he was recognized wherever he went, the whole thing was over for him."
That is an Italian magazine, I guess, who had, because you see, I was this internationally famous person, you know. If one thinks about it, it's true, and I am the first one who was amazed how, again, how little one has to do in order to be picked up by the press or so, because, I mean, basically, the world is sort of quite boring, so that little off the edges, and of course, what people want to hear about and read about.
Peter Berlin is probably the strangest porn star you will ever hear about. That may be because he isn't really a porn star. Berlin was his own invention, a self-created icon and enigma who, through his clothes, quickly became a fixture of the international streets, inciting both shock and delight to onlookers. The world today is saturated with people obsessed with taking pictures of themselves. Berlin predated them by nearly 50 years. Peter Berlin didn't create the obsession, but he unknowingly pioneered the sexualized self-portrait as we know it today. Peter Berlin is alive and well, and lives a quiet life in San Francisco. The Peter Berlin character has since been retired, but in interviews, Berlin has gone on to say that he is astonished at how his image has found such an endearing home in gay history. I reached out to Peter Berlin for an interview and did not receive a response, although I am told that is not uncommon.
I still can walk and talk, and even people recognize me still as Peter Berlin, what is sort of nice, because if you can, as a 60-year-old man, get a compliment from a stranger, like en passant on the street, calling you, "You look cute," I never will forget that. Now, who in the hell with 60 years old can look cute? I said, "My God, Peter, you are really good in sort of making people not see a 60-year-old man, because actually I feel like 90. And there's nothing good about old. Old is old. Nothing. No."
Peter Berlin met an American-born, German-speaking San Francisco Art Institute film student, Richard Abel, in 1972 after watching a 10-minute black-and-white film he made on his Bolex H16 reflex camera.
He showed me his piece for the judges, I guess, whatever they have to submit to get their degree. I told him, you can show that to some friends and your mother and they all will like it, but it's a bore. So why don't we make a porno film?
By this point, Berlin had garnered local celebrity status in San Francisco, so they were able to use that as motivation. They invested $5,000 into the project and began to aimlessly film until something stuck. That something was Peter Berlin. While making the film, Berlin was directing in front of the camera as well, while Abel would manage all of the post-production work.
He edited the film. He was doing the sound, and I had nothing to do with the making of the film. I just was in front of it and telling him what to do. So I sort of gave him the idea, do the shot here or make it all. And
Nights in Black Leather took 14 days to film. After the film was shot and edited, Berlin began promotion for the film. Richard Abel took the stage name Ignacio Rudkowski. Berlin was featured on the poster as Peter Burian, a name based on someone Berlin had admired for his beauty while he was still in Germany. Berlin would then get a big envelope from a lawyer in New York, accusing him of stealing the name from Peter Burian, a legitimate New York model. Upon the threat of a lawsuit, Peter Burian, the star of Nights in Black Leather, became Peter Berlin because, well, he's from Berlin. First and foremost, the title of the film is a playoff of the Moody Blues' 1967 song, Nights in White Satin, and could have possibly inspired Bette Midler's Nights in Black Leather. Nights in Black Leather follows the sexual adventures of a German immigrant through the city of San Francisco. The film is shot on location in San Francisco, North Beach, and Land's End. While the film is beautifully shot by Rudkowski, there is very little full-on sex. The film consists mostly of fellatio scenes in soft focus and shadows, and solos. When there are sex scenes, they are simulated. Berlin attributed this to his inability to get hard due to being shy and just trying to mimic things he had seen in other gay porn films. Nights in Black Leather was shopped around and picked up by Monroe Bieler's Jaguar Films in Los Angeles. Bieler gave Berlin and Rudkowski $8,500 to distribute the film. The film was released in 1973 and became a huge hit financially. Nights in Black Leather played for months in the US as well as Europe. The success of the film catapulted Berlin and the image he portrayed. It led to him being critically adored by mainstream artists at a time when the art world fully embraced the developing erotic film industry. Berlin would then start his own lucrative mail order business, selling self-portraits through advertisements and gay publications. This became Berlin's primary stream of income, and Berlin was free to pursue his sexual pleasures at leisure. Berlin would go on to brainstorm another project the following year called That Boy, and a pair of shorts called Blue Boys. Just like with Nights in Black Leather, the film had no script, no plot, and focused on Berlin and his exploits. Nights in Black Leather, like many of the films featured in this season, serve as a time capsule that you will not see this unfiltered anywhere else, I dare say. Up until recently, it was unknown whether an intact 16mm print of the film existed. But then Berlin received news that the original negative of the film was in storage in Southern California. From that negative, a brand new 16mm print was made, and the original and its negative are currently on loan to the Legacy Project, a joint venture between Outfest and UCLA Film and Television Archives. You've been listening to Demystifying Gay Porn. I am your host, Ike Grande. Demystifying Gay Porn is available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as YouTube. Demystifying Gay Porn is on X, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram. And if you like what you're watching or listening to and want to be a part of the creative process, head over to patreon.com/demystifyinggayporn, where you can help support this audiovisual podcast and YouTube channel, and I can continue making content like you've just enjoyed. Once again, this is Demystifying Gay Porn. My name is Ike Grande, and if you watch gay porn, I've definitely helped you out. We'll be right back.